Hare Vasudeva, Hare Vasudeva, తత్ర నిర్ముక్త సమస్త సంఘా ఆత్మానబోధ్యా విదత్త త్రిలింగ పరేమలే బ్రహ్మణి వాసుదేవే దేవే గతిం భాగవతిం ప్రతీత
Translation, because King Yayati completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. He was freed from all contamination of the material modes of nature. Because of his self-realization, he was able to fix his mind upon the transcendent Parabrahman Vasudeva. And immediately, he ultimately achieved the position of an associate of the Lord. Purport, the word viduta means clean, meaning cleanse, is very significant. Everyone in this material world is contaminated. Because we are in material condition, we are contaminated either by sattva-guna, rajaguna, or tamaguna. Even if one becomes the qualified brahmana, among the buddhas, he is still materially contaminated. One must come to the platform of sudha-sattva, transcending the sattva-guna. Then one is Viduta Sri Linga, cleansed of contamination caused by the three modes of material nature. This is possible by the mercy of Krishna, stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimadam Svakada Krishna, Punya Sravana Kirtana, Pradyanta Stokhivadrana, Vidyanoti Suritsitam. Sri Krishna, the personality of God, if it was the Paramatma in everyone's heart and benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. A person trying to be perfectly Krishna conscious by hearing the words of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita clearly has all the dirty things cleansed from the core of his heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, Cheto Garvana Marjana, in the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord, washes away the dirty things accumulated in the core of the heart. As soon as one is free from all the dirt of material translation because King Ayati completely surrendered under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Vasudeva, he was freed from all contamination of the material modes of nature. Because of his self-realization, he was able to fix his mind upon the transcendence and thus ultimately achieve the position of an associate of the Lord. So, this verse describes the final result for King Ayati after realizing his attachments to his enjoyment and his wife were useless. So he detached himself from that situation and he worshipped the Lord. And as a result of that, it says here, he became completely free from the gunas, completely free from all material enjoyment and attachments. He realized his position as Atma, different from body. And he engaged himself in worshipping the Lord and he attained the Lord. So, the process of bhakti purifies. Of course, we can say the process of jnana also purifies, because if you do jnana, you can get liberation. One cannot get liberation unless one is free of the material gunas, free of material body, free of karma, free of subtle body, etc. So yes, the process of jnana also, or the process of yoga, can free you from the gunas. There is a little condition there, however, and that is observed by our acharyas. They say that actually these processes cannot in themselves give you liberation. The liberation is caused by the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord becomes merciful if the jnani or the yogi also includes some worship of the Lord. So that allows the liberation of the person. But in general, we can say those processes lead to some sort of liberation with the assistance of a little bhakti. But though they become free from material world, material attachment, etc., they don't manifest a spiritual body. They do not manifest realization of the Lord or bhava or prema. They do not realize rasa or the ananda that comes from rasa. So purification itself is not enough. By these processes, you get the purification, though it is a long process, but you do not get the proper result. By worshipping the Lord, meditating on the Lord, engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, we get this result, as in the process of jnana or yoga, freedom from material goods, etc. But we get this other goal, that is gatim bhagavatim, that is, we attain a realization of the Lord, we get a spiritual body, we attain the plan of the Lord, etc. So the result is quite different, in spite of the fact that it does liberate one from the material world. Here there are Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavatam, the first canto, Sundaratam Sukhata Krishna, Punya Sravana Krishna, that Krishna purifies a person of all abhadrami, all the auspicious elements, anartas, etc., in the heart, because he is situated there. So in other words, through the process, how does it happen? Because one carries out the process of hearing and chanting, etc. Shinvatam, for people who hear about the Lord and take the Lord as their friend, Sukhrasatam, they get purified in this way by Krishna. So if they hear about Krishna, Krishna purifies them. But that, of course, is, as I said, the secondary effect. The primary effect of hearing about Krishna is attraction for Krishna. So two things happen to the Atma. The Atma becomes detached from material energy and consequently becomes detached from the material body, subtle and gross, which allows the liberation. Becomes attached to the Supreme Lord. And this allows him to develop a nature like the Lord. So often in the scriptures it is described that one can attain samyam or equality with the Lord, or likeness to the Supreme Lord through the process of worshiping the Lord. Mm-hmm. And of course, the example is given of the even for the demons, because they meditate upon the Lord in hatred. They get a form like the Lord, like a form vision. Example is given of the little bug. He is trapped by the wasp, and he gets stuck inside the hole, plugged in there. And because of meditation and fear upon that wasp or whatever it is that trapped him in there, eventually he comes out and he turns into a wasp also. He gets a similar body because of meditation on that body. So, in this way, even in hatred, it said that if one meditates on the Supreme Lord, then one can get a body of four on the Lord. So this is to describe the demons who concentrate on the Lord. Of course, that is not real bhakti. So, if the devotee concentrates upon the Supreme Lord, definitely he will get a suitable form for service in the spiritual world. So, even getting the spiritual body or attaining the spiritual world is not the goal of the devotee. These are considered to be types of liberation or mukti. And it is said that the devotee actually, even these types of liberation, he is not so eager to accept if it is not involved service to the Lord. So at the beginning of the Nectar Devotion, there in the introductory verses, Rupa Goswami describes how the devotees are like makara, like this king of the fish, very special fish that lives in the ocean. Because he lives in the ocean of bhakti rasa, he is very skillful at swimming around in it. Yeah? So, in other words, the devotees can experience the bliss of devotion and rasa. And, of course, they avoid the nets of karma. The fishermen are there trying to catch the fish, but the fish go very deep in the water and the nets cannot catch them. So in this way, the devotees transcend the material world and all the gunas, etc. But they also avoid the rivers. Not only avoid the nets of karma, they also avoid the rivers. So as described, the rivers leading into the ocean are the types of liberation, that is, sayojya, salokya, sarsya, samitya, etc. So the devotees actually avoid those things in the sense that they do not aspire to get, of course, merging into the Lord, or getting a form like the Lord, or getting the plan of the Lord, getting closeness to the Lord, or getting powers like the Lord. They don't want to. That's not their aspiration. So they avoid those things. So this means that the primary goal of the devotee is to serve the Lord. However, in the service of the Lord gives to the devotee whatever is necessary for his service. So obviously the material body is an impediment to service. And no body in liberation is impossible to serve. That's very unfavorable. So therefore, the Lord does award a spiritual body for the devotee in the spiritual world. Of course, we can say he could participate with the Lord in his pastimes in the material world, but ultimately he serves the Lord eternally in the spiritual world. So therefore, automatically, the devotee gets a spiritual body and spiritual plan of the Lord simply by his aspiration to serve the Lord. So that is his main goal. So those who do not aspire for service have no necessity of getting a spiritual body or a spiritual place. So then it's end up in Brahman. That's the people who do jnana and yoga. So even though they do worship the Lord a little bit, their aspiration is not to serve the Lord. It's simply to end up in that state of non-service. So that's what they get. So according to one's aspiration, one gets a different result, even if it is a spiritual aspiration beyond the gunas. So, the jnanis and yogis get one type of goal, without realization of the Lord and without the form or qualities, etc., without a spiritual body. And the devotees who aspire for service get a spiritual body, a spiritual world, and they serve the Lord eternally. And then in between we get persons who can get a spiritual body but don't serve the Lord. So we say, how is that possible? So of course they do serve the Lord in one sense. If they're in the spiritual world, obviously their spiritual body in the spiritual world, they must be serving the Lord in some sense. Yes, but it's just a minimum of service. Those people who practice bhakti but not so intensely end up in that position. So it is said that the karma Mr. Bhaktas and Gyan Mr. Bhaktas end up in that position. Yeah? Because the karma Mr. Bhaktas do bhakti, but it's not so intense because it's mixed with some desire for their own enjoyment. So the Lord fulfills that desire and they get nice place, nice body. No problems with maintaining that body in the spiritual world, etc. And they can live very happily like that. And because they do the bhakti, yes, they're related to the Supreme Lord. Forms similar to the Lord, sarupya, place of the Lord. And even powers like the Lord. They got special powers. And they also recognize the Lord because they've done the notion. But they don't have that eagerness to serve the Lord so much. So therefore, their main relationship with the Lord is through meditation, even in the spiritual world. So therefore the relationship or the rasa is not very developed. You can say it's a weak type of shanta rasa. And if one has jnana mixed with it, of course, then obviously it means that he has bhakti and recognizes the Lord at the same time. There's a preference for this peacefulness of shanta. So therefore, again, the service is minimum. So it's described that a person in shanta rasa, he sees the Lord, and then he experiences the bliss of Brahman. Sees the beautiful form of the Lord, and then he thinks of Brahman. So, and it becomes very peaceful. So in other words, he gets a spiritual form in the spiritual world, but it is not so useful in one sense because he doesn't engage in active service. So because they do devotion to the Lord as their primary means, but they do mix it with a little karma or jnana, they get much higher than the yogi or the jnani who have no spiritual body at all. Because they do not practice pure bhakti, then they don't develop the rasa fully into dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and they don't serve directly. So this is the position of those who do mixed bhakti. Therefore, in the Nectar of Devotion, at the very beginning, Rupa Goswami is very clear to define Uttama Bhakti as the method to get prema, and therefore rasa, bhakti rasa with the symbol. That the ocean of rasa is available to the makaras, the devotees who practice pure bhakti. Of course, prema is also pure bhakti, obviously. But then we see that this other type of bhakti is there also, where they don't have real rasa in the spiritual world. So, the attainment of prema is preferable because the service and the bliss is much greater. So therefore, when we talk about bhakti rasa with the sindhu, the ocean of rasa, we're concerned with the rasas which give bliss in the spiritual world. And to get that, one has to do sadhana, pure bhakti, without the desire, a mixture of karma or jnana or anything else. So that is why Rupa Goswami defines this uttama bhakti at the very beginning as part of sadhana. So though it is not pure technically, because we do have anarthas, our aspiration is for purity. And in our execution of that bhakti, we do not pray for material enjoyment and acquisitions or for liberation. So that, in that sense, sadhana bhakti is called pure bhakti. It is not pure because we have to go through the removal of anarthas, etc. Even bhava is not completely pure. But it is called uttama bhakti because it is this bhakti where we consciously exclude these other impurities, which will lead to prema. And if we don't do that, and we mix other things in it consciously, then we end up with these other positions of sarupya, salokya, etc. So, therefore, the devotee should be, who's aspiring for prema, must understand the meaning of this pure bhakti. So, Rupa Goswami puts that verse in the very beginning of the nectar devotion to make sure that we have a very clear idea of the nature of pure bhakti. So, unfortunately, in general, people may hear about bhakti, but they have a wrong conception of bhakti. So, for most people, bhakti is a very mixed endeavor without clear conceptions of who is the Supreme Lord ultimately and what is the goal. So, in other words, there is a problem of recognizing the difference between Supreme Lord and devatas and ordinary human beings. And it's also a problem in distinguishing what is the goal. They've never heard of prema. So we simply worship the deities and whatever. And what is the normal prayer? For material things. Not even liberation. So at best, people are doing a type of mixed bhakti, karma mistra bhakti, mixed with material desires, even if they do some sort of bhakti to the Supreme Lord. And then we mix with some aparas because they think that Vishnu and David is equal or whatever. Therefore we have to have a very clear idea of this, and therefore we study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, and we get a very clear idea of the difference between Supreme Lord and devatas. And we also get a clear idea of pure bhakti versus mixed bhakti, or offensive bhakti or whatever. So therefore we do have to get some proper knowledge in order to practice bhakti properly. So the practice of bhakti itself is complete because it involves, it leads to both things, purification and prema. Both things are available through the process of bhakti. This allows us to get freedom from material world and liberation from material suffering, etc. And it also supplies ananda or bliss. So this is actually a perfect process designated by the scriptures, process of bhakti. And that is the recommendation of Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavata.
Gurumaj, in the status of Shankarasa, as the which bhaktas who is the attain moksha, he said that they will be in a position of not being able to serve the Lord and just enjoy the. Is there any chance of them advancing further to serve the Lord?
There's always possibility. He said even if one is in Brahman, it's a possibility, but it's not so common. And the problem is that generally in the spiritual world, people are satisfied with whatever they have attained there. Because if they weren't, then there would be great instability and everybody aspiring for something else. So therefore people in Dasya Rasa would be aspiring for Madhurya Rasa, etc. So eventually there would be no dasas in the spiritual world, technically speaking, or whatever. So basically if one goes to the spiritual world after endeavoring with one sadhana, one is more or less satisfied with that particular position in the spiritual world. But I said there's always going to be exceptions to the rule, but that's the general. Well, Paramatma is always available for the jiva. However, if the jiva ignores the Supreme Lord, then the Lord does not interfere with that decision of the jiva. So by refusing the Lord, we have darkness. So in other words, if a person wants to stay in the dark, what can the sun do? If he hides in the shadows all the time, if a person hides in the shadows, what can the sunlight do? So So if he prefers the dark, then the Lord does not interfere with that decision. So therefore, the Lord is always there, and it's described in the Upanishads how the Svetasvara Upanishad, how the there's two birds in the tree, and the one bird is enjoying the fruit of the tree, the other bird is farm out, and he's not enjoying the fruit and looking at the other bird, but enjoying. He does not interfere with that enjoyment of the other bird. In other words, the other bird is not recognizing the Lord, and he's enjoying in the material world. That's his ignorance. So it's not the choice of the Lord, it's the choice of the jiva to enjoy in the material world, and Paramatma does not interfere with that if the jiva so chooses. But when the jiva turns towards the Lord, recognizes him immediately, he is free from the miseries of the material world. So it's the choice of the jiva to either recognize or not recognize the Supreme Lord, even if he's Paramatma right next to him. Well, as I say, faith is the first step. And the only way the jiva can develop a tendency to accept the Lord is by this process of agata sukriti, or accidental mercy of the devotees, over many, many births. That's the usual process. Sometimes it's a sudden process also, by mercy of devotees, generated through the mercy of devotees only, either indirectly over many births, as agata sukriti, or directly. And in some cases, Supreme Lord may give mercy directly also. But mainly it is through this gradual process of accidental bhakti.
Yes, you mentioned that when karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, they also can go to the spiritual world and they also can get a spiritual body. Okay. But see, they have some desire. But in the spiritual world, you know, there is only one enjoyer.
And when they get there, there's no more impurities. But the bhakti itself, because bhakti will purify them eventually. But because the bhakti was mixed, it's not so intense. And therefore the relation to the Lord is not so intense.
But how can they enjoy that? Because in this vision, they only want to enjoy it. How can the jiva enjoy
that? As I said, they have a relationship with the Lord, but it's weak. And they serve the Lord in the mind, in meditation.
Is there an example like this?
There must be a few examples. We don't have famous examples because that's not the aspiration of the devotees. But we find even persons like Aputana goes to the spiritual world and becomes a nurse in the spiritual world. But it's very clearly mentioned that though she gets that position, she is much inferior to anything that a devotee can attain by direct service. So in other words, she gets a position and she's some sort of servant of the Lord, but a weak relationship as compared to what a devotee can attain. So whatever they do get, even if they get a rasa, it is much weaker than what a devotee gets. Well, of course, the position in the spiritual world is permanent. It's not that he's just a temporary resident or whatever. Can't go to the spiritual world and then leave the spiritual world. It doesn't happen.
Guru Maharaj, the subtle body, does it really relate with the Lord in this material world itself? Subtle body, the Atma with the subtle body, does it relate with the Paramatma or have a relationship with the Paramatma directly?
Subtle body.
Relate with the Paramatma.
Well, the only relation with Paramatma is the Atma with the Paramatma, because they're both spiritual. How the subtle body and the gross body are both matter. They have no consciousness on their own. But we can use them, as we do in bhakti, engage them in the service of the Lord and develop a relationship. But the relationship, by using the senses and matter, etc., it's not a relationship of matter with the Lord, it's a relationship of Atma with the Lord. So though we use the senses, which are material, the Atma develops a relationship with the Supreme Lord. So it's not a relationship between mind and Paramatma or whatever. It's always has to be the Atma. Only the Atma can perceive the Paramatma. It's not the material senses that can do that, or the material mind. It said the Lord is beyond the mind, beyond the senses.
the material mind, the material senses. So therefore, the material mind cannot realize the Lord. It has to be something else. It has to be the Atman and his capacity for knowledge.
In the purport, Prabhupada quotes that once the jiva is purified of all contaminations, then his swarupa is revealed.
If he performs bhakti.
Yeah. So, sometime back you also said that Siddha Pranali is also a bona fide process, but it seems that in the current time, let's say in the recent times, if one uses Siddha Pranali, then is that jiva is still contaminated, and how can he
Siddha Pranali is just a sadhana. It is not the actual spiritual body. We call it the siddha deha in sadhana, but it's actually not the pure spiritual body that will only manifest in bhava and prema. Because we cannot see the Lord before that. So therefore, that we don't have spiritual senses before that. Perceive the Lord. Okay? So though we call it the siddha deha, it is not really the siddha deha until we attain bhava and prema.
And also probably there's a possibility that maybe this the Siddha Pranali, what he got would not be his actual Swarupa. Probably one gets, let's say for example...
Well, as I said, we practice, and according to our practice and our aspiration, that's what we realize. So, if he has his Siddha Deha, well, this of course is only in relation to Krishna they do this. That's obviously he's chosen Krishna, so then through his sadhana he'll realize Krishna, not Ramchandra or Vishnu when he gets to Bhava and Prema. It's only natural, isn't it? We don't expect that if you worship Krishna for 20 years and then you get bhava, suddenly you're going to realize another form of the Lord. So obviously you realize whatever you worship. And according to the relationship that you aspire for, then you also realize that particular relationship. That's all.
But isn't that also revealed by the Guru at a certain stage, because he's the one who gives the mantra or, you know, to actually realize what's your actual relationship?
Well, that's in the Siddha Pranali. The Guru or a devotee may do that, reveal that. As a practice, of course, as sadhana, or it may happen internally as well. So we have three alternatives there. So it's not necessarily the guru, it could be another devotee, it could be internal. The Lord Himself may reveal it as well. What, peacock? Or a Krishna? Well, we have to go by scripture for that. And in terms of rasa, if it's an internal revelation of one's relationship with the Lord, that would mean one would have to have some spiritual advancement to do that, not that one can do that at the very beginning of one's practice.
Even when we, our goal is prema and we are focusing on madhurya, or Radha Krishna, sometimes including deity worship, we go to different temples, we might go to Srirangam, we get Ranganatha Swami, we keep that at the altar, or go to Tirupati, keep that.
Mm.
Is that also a kind of a distraction when we are actually trying to worship Radha Krishna as the prime goal? Yeah.
Well, as one person's advance, probably that will be a distraction. Mm. For people who are beginning, that they're not really fixed on one particular form even. Those who are advanced are more particular. So it's described that there's some sadhakas who will worship many forms, have attraction to many forms, and there's other sadhakas who concentrate on one form. And generally those who concentrate on many forms end up also with maybe shanta rasa ultimately. So it's described that one type of shanta rati is there where you could change your rasa every day if you want to. So fickle your relationship with the Lord. One day you can feel Madhurya Rasa, another Shakya Rasa, another Dasya Rasa, like this. Day by day you can change. So that's the type of Shanta Rasa, actually. It's not very intense. It's a little preference for everything. So, generally, we're encouraged to go for the highest thing in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, so we concentrate on Madhurya Rasa, etc. Well, it's not exactly that it contains those, we can say, the some factors, not complete factors, obviously, because some are contradictory, like Vatsalya Rasa is contradictory to Madhurya Rasa, etc. So some of the factors are there, and the intensities of the prema are there with all within Madhurya Rasa, because it's the highest.
So while meditating, if we are in
generally in Madhurya Rasa, no, they concentrate on the conchal form. Because then the other ones don't evoke that rasa. If you meditate on the baby form, you cannot have Madhurya Rasa for that form. It's impossible. Well, as I said, people who become very, very attracted to Krishna, then they will only concentrate on Krishna and Krishna Prasad, etc., or whatever. Or as we say, they concentrate on Krishna and Radha Krishna, then you, even the name of Chandravala becomes a big disturbance or whatever, even though she's an exalted gopi or whatever, second group after Radha's group. Yet the devotees of Radha completely reject her, and they won't hear her name at all. So it's a matter of intensity of one's work. Well, anyway, as I said, that's a matter of intensity of the one's devotion. So most devotees are not at a stage, so it doesn't really concern them. Well, that the aspiration is that, but it's based upon sadhana, so in any case we have to follow the rules of sadhana bhakti, even though the goal is Radha Krishna. So therefore we have Radha Krishna deities. At the same time, we carry out Pancharatrik worship, which is rather than Vaidhi bhakti in relation to Radha Krishna.
Look at the jivatma being anadi, in the process of maturity, it has definitely the opportunity of coming across different devatas or different types of worships. What state this will erase and the concentration on Radha Krishna or the preferred deities will happen? The jivatma is traveling from time immemorial in different ways of self-realization. Somebody would have thought about Lord Ganesha in a previous life. Then they would have got an advancement by the association of devotees. But this state of Madhurya Rasa, how they, when they are attained, what time they do
that? Well, that is by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mainly. In terms of Radha and Krishna, there's mainly through the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the associates of, or followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
But even after coming in contact with the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, somebody will be having that
If they have those attractions, then fine. If they don't get rid of them and they have more attraction for that, then they can do that. It's not that anyone's forced to do so. So there may be some devotees of Vishnu or Rama or whatever. If they worship, fine. Well, we expose everybody to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those that accept it, fine, in advance.
Doing this is the presence of Rupa Arki. I hope from you.